So I hope you've come. Whoa. We've come expecting a blessing from the Lord, and again, happy Mother's Day to all our moms. And remember, next Sunday, we're having our international potluck and graduation Sunday party. Sarah graduated Friday, and we're so proud of her, and graduated with honors. So, magna cum laude. And so was super proud of her. And international dish, so, make something from somewhere else. We'll have some cards where you can put the name and the country that it's from so that people will know what they're eating. But I'm looking forward. There'll be an adventure. It's always good to try new things. And if you're like Leslie and I, we eat the same three or four things all through the week mostly. And, it just kind of rotates around. But it's good to try new things. And so I look forward to that. Hope you've found some interesting items. I'll tell you what I'm making. It is so good. You would not think it's good. It's called peanut butter beef. And you think that's gross, because that's exactly what I thought of it. It's from it's an African recipe. Some missionaries to the Ivory Coast shared it with Leslie and I a few years ago. And it is so good. It is crazy good. So you're going to enjoy it. That's what I'm making. And I don't know what Leslie's making, But that yeah, I didn't figure I would. So maybe you want to do what I did and, email one of our missionaries and say, hey, listen, we're having international potluck at our church Sunday, and I need a recipe. Give me a local recipe that I can find the ingredients for here in America. And they would love, that would be such an encouragement to them. And then also you would have a new friendship and have some new maybe favorite food to eat. So let me encourage you to do that. If you have your Bibles this morning, you'll find Isaiah chapter 11. There goes my bulletin. And this morning we're going to look at chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11. And I've titled this morning's message, "You've Done It Again, Lord." And Leslie's family, the land where Leslie's mom and sister and brother-in-law and our two nephews live, has a bunch of pine trees on. They raise pine trees. And this past year was a cutting. They cut down every pine tree that was in those acres. So where you used to go to Mama Helen's, you saw woods and woods and woods. Now when you go, you just see Mama Helen's house. And you see a bunch of stumps. There's nothing left there. They've since planted some new trees, and so there's some saplings there that really aren't trees yet, but they will be one day. And that really is kind of, if you can kind of picture that, if you've seen a field that's been cleared, maybe by harvesting or by fire even, and you know that when that there's nothing there. It's desolate. And Isaiah uses this word picture, and that's the image that he wants us to have in our mind as we read these verses in chapter 11, because that is what the nation of Israel has become. Remember, Syria came in, wiped them out. Took most everyone captive, not much left. And so let's take a look at beginning in verse 1. He says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf of the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and the young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will step up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind he shall shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And so Isaiah reminds us that, hey, listen, things are mighty bleak right now. And when you look at, he's using the example of a cut forest or a forest that's been destroyed by fire. He said, you know what? There's going to come forth a rot, a little sprout. That's the amazing thing about wildfires, when they destroy so much and there's so much devastation, after a little while, for a long time it's black. Everything is black from the soot. But eventually, not right away, but eventually, what begins to happen? Green starts popping up out of that ash. And that's exactly what Isaiah is saying. Hey, listen, yeah, things are dark, things look bleak, things look hopeless and destroyed, but life is going to come back. That God is going to restore his people. He's not forgotten his promises. And so he reminds us in this chapter of three important things about how God blesses and how God works among his people. And he reminds us, first of all, that God, you give us new life. So listen, things are hopeless, but new life is going to sprout up because God is the author and the giver of life. And so he says there's going to come this little sprout from the stem of Jesse, and this branch will eventually come. Here again, Isaiah is speaking of the coming Messiah that will ultimately come in the person of Jesus Christ a few centuries after Isaiah. So it would take a long time before this promise would begin to be realized. But you know what? It wouldn't be fully realized until Jesus comes again, the second time. He's come the first time, but he's coming again. And when he comes again, Scripture says that he's going to restore all of creation. And so we need to understand that life and new life comes only from God. David was aware of this in the Psalms. You remember he asked the rhetorical question. He said, "Where can I go to get away from you, Lord?" He said, "If I climb to the highest mountain, you're going to be there. And if I go down to the ocean and I swim to the very, very darkest, most bottom part, you'll be there too." And so David declares, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He declares that God has knit him together just like God knit us together. That God is the giver of life. We must never forget that. And so he goes on, he says, "Listen, our life is a gift from God. And so don't squander it. And understand that there's new life. Though you have walked away from God, and though you are, you know, sinful, just as Isaiah recognized his own sin," he said, "you know what? God can and God will give you new life." And remember that Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter, he said, "If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new." That only happens by God's grace and the mercy. But the thing is that God will give new life to anyone who will turn to Him and ask for it. God wants to give everyone new life. But the recipe, or the secret, if you will, is not really a secret of getting new life. It's not working hard to be better. Though lots of people try that. Guess what? It doesn't work. It never will work. And so that's not the way. The way is simply asking God for that gift. He's already given. He's already made it available to us. All we have to do is receive that wonderful gift of new life. And so Isaiah says and reminds us, yes, God's people, things look mighty bleak, but there's new life in God. And we need to praise God for that. But then he goes on, and perhaps more importantly, he reminds him, he says, not only do you give new life, but look at what he says secondly. He says, you give new direction. He uses the description of a banner. It may say signal. And what that's talking about is one that you've seen probably in those old medieval war movies. You know, as the party goes forward, they've always somebody in front, and they've got that big banner, you know, with their, you know, seal or emblem or whatever you want to call it on it. And that's what he's talking about. That's the kind of banner that he's talking about here. This, and the purpose of that is so that you know what direction to head, you know, hey, listen, we're heading this way. And so that banner, though, is not man-made. That banner is not, it's God himself. Jesus is our banner. Jesus is the one that shows us the way. Remember, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so he says, listen, there's this new banner, there's this new flag that will be our rallying cry and will be the direction that will follow. And it's not a political party, it's not a geopolitical nation, but a Savior of all the world. And so he says, you know what, this banner is going to come, and God is going to change things, and He's going to judge righteously and bring peace. And Isaiah talks about that a whole lot, and we'll get to that in just a minute. He says, you know what, God is, in verse 10, he says, he shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles will seek him. So this banner not only served as Israel and Judah's banner, not only would the Messiah reunite, and the nation of Israel ultimately would come back from captivity, a united nation, but ultimately it would only be much later when Jesus came that, you know what, Israel and Gentiles would find this new path and this new direction and this new relationship with God Almighty. When God comes into your life, He changes your direction. He changes how you live your life and your priorities. And so the things of God become more important to you. You know what? Lost people don't worry about the things of God. They're not concerned about God. They're not concerned about spiritual things. But do you know who ought to be concerned about God and spiritual things? It's God's people. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the practice of the heathen." Our banner, our direction is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And when you're following Jesus, you're headed in a good direction. And you're headed for good things. Jesus will not lead us astray. He will not lead us away from the Father. He will not lead us away from what God's intention for our life is. He'll lead us toward it. And then lastly, this morning, not only does He give us new life and give us new direction, but He gives us new victory. God promises us that He will be victorious. We sang a wonderful song, "Victory in Jesus," this morning. And I tell you that in Jesus we do have the ultimate victory. And Isaiah says, you know, the day is going to come when enemies are friends. As you read through the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the leopard laying down with the goats and the calves and the lions and the fatlings playing together, what does that sound like? Does it have some echoes of Genesis in there? Where creation walked together and was in unison with God? I think so. And you remember that sin entered the world and ruined that perfect fellowship. And so now there was enmity between nature and between animals and between people. And God would work in such a way, and the Prince of Peace would bring such a amount of peace that that original creation would be restored. That the effects and the power of sin would be no more. That day has not fully arrived just yet, but it's coming. The new heaven and the new earth where sin does not reign anymore. Where there's no sickness, where there's no heartache. Where the tears that are shed are tears of praise and joy and thankfulness. Where we spend our days praising and worshiping God. What a day that will be. And so I said, you know what? Ultimately, I'm going to restore creation the way that God created it and the way He intended for it to be. There'll be perfect peace. But then he also reminds us that he's going to give and bring victory over heathens and those that are trying to defeat God, and ultimately Satan himself. Guess what? We've got the end of the book, and we know how it ends. Ultimately, God will be victorious. Ultimately, evil will be done away with. You don't have to be a news guru and these to know that evil is rampant in our world today. There's evil everywhere. And yet the day will come when evil will ultimately be defeated once and for all. You know, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and overwhelmed by the evil that's in this world and things that are wrong in this world. The people of Israel, the people that Isaiah was preaching to, certainly were in that boat. They'd been through years of difficulty and judgment by God's hand. And so, yeah, they were discouraged. And Isaiah's message is, hey, listen, yes, it looks bleak, but in God, there's light. And in God, there's hope. And in God, there's peace. And in God, there's victory. But apart from God, you're not going to realize any of those things. There are a lot of people in this world throughout history that have tried to defeat God and do away with God. And guess what? They're all dead. And God is still alive. God will always have the last word and the last laugh sometimes too. That man so proudly and arrogantly declares that they have defeated God or that they have done without God their life, they will come to a time, whether it's here or whether it's in eternity, and they stand before him and the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming, and friends, it's coming sooner than later as we look around this world and see all the things that are going on and how this world is transpiring. God says, you know what? Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of the fact that I will be victorious. And so we mustn't keep our eyes on the thing. I'm not saying we put our heads in the sand and just ignore the things that are going on in this world. But what I am saying is we don't let this world and the evil that is rampant in this world keep us from doing what God intends for us and created us to do. That God intends for us to reach our full redemptive potential this side of heaven, and ultimately in heaven. But God is working on us here, and God intends for us to do great things and to see God work in mighty ways in our life and in this world. We should seek to leave this world a little bit better than what we found it. And there should be people that we have impacted for the kingdom of God that had it not been for us, would have spent eternity in hell, but because we shared God's love with them, they came to know God as personal Lord and Savior. And friends, that is the ultimate victory. That's the important victory. Not how many notches that you have on your soul-winning belt. Not how many certificates and awards you have on your wall for various things. Not how many days of Sunday school you've been in. Not how many sermons you've listened to. But the ultimate victory will be that you've lived a life that's honored and pleased God. And if you've done that, you've had a full life. Not necessarily had an easy life. In fact, I guarantee you haven't had an easy life if you're following God. But you've had a blessed life. And so Isaiah says, hey, listen, yes, right now the fields are mighty empty and mighty bleak. You see a lot of destruction. But don't lose sight that eventually this little green sprig is going to pop up. And that little green sprig will eventually turn into a mighty branch that will deliver not only the nation of Israel, but will deliver the entire world. That whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And all comes from that little branch, from that little sprout that came up out of destruction. But isn't that how God works? God does not use mighty things. God has the power greater than a nuclear bomb. God could very well wipe out the evil in the world with just the snap of his finger, but he doesn't. He will one day, though. He says, listen, yes, things do seem like we're losing the game, but when the end the last buzzer buzzes, we'll be victorious. We'll have won. And that's what it's all about. And so, only remember that only God can do that. You can't do it on your own. But God can do it for you. And He wants to, and He will. And He's working toward that direction for us. And so there's hope. And light, and ultimately victory, because of what God is going to do for us and in us and through us. And let's stand together and we'll be dismissed for Sunday school this morning. Remember our prayer request. Remember the Jeffries as they're coming back from wherever it is, up north somewhere, wherever it is they went, Virginia or Pennsylvania or somewhere up there. They're up in Yankee land anyway. And So pray for them as they travel back. Remember Ms. Kay in your prayers. Thankfully, she's starting to feel some better, and she goes Tuesday for her shot. And we're just praying that will be the ultimate oomph she needs to get back to her old regular self. And so others that are sick in our church. And Brother George, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning, please?